Welcome back to another version of Biz Talk. We're very glad to have you with us this morning. My name is Tony Bush, and I'm in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony, and it's great to have you back. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I was gone for 3 weeks. I was gone in Alabama, and then we took a weekend off last weekend.
Well, we managed to mind the store while you were gone, keep things pretty much in line. So,
keeping things going.
Oh, yeah, we're doing just
keeping
fine.
Keeping things going. Well, we're glad you guys joined us today. We're going to have an open show this morning. Our guest was unable to make her appearance this morning, and we'll try to reschedule her. So Randy and I are going to have an open show, and we would like it very much if you could call us with any questions you might have about business, starting a business, or maybe an issue you're facing might be something to do with marketing. It might be something to do with banking or cash flow or some legal issue or an accounting issue. Please give us a call this morning, and if for those who do call in with a question, we're going to have a book for a giveaway called Winning Ways for Life. It was written by Mao Nguyen, one of the SCORE mentors. He's also a volunteer with the FISC organization. It's a great book on balancing your life between financial and spiritual issues and finding a happier life, and it's really Nguyen's own personal life story. It's a fascinating read. So with that, we're going to talk a little bit about the SCORE chapter this morning. Our SCORE chapter is located in Appleton, downtown in the Chamber Building. We service 8 counties from Appleton down through Oshkosh down to Fond du Lac. We have about 40 trained expert mentors who will help business owners or those who would like to start a business and helping them to go through the steps of what do we do to start a business. And we also have experts who help business owners solve problems they're facing in their business. How do we grow our business? How do we correct our production issues?
And, of course, the best part about our mentoring services are that they are free.
They're free and they're genuine.
And they're genuine, yeah. These people are very, very involved in what they're doing. We've got some of our mentors who have been working with clients now for over
6, 7, 8 years
and helping them on a regular basis. So it's not just a one-shot where you come in. You sit down with these people. They are genuinely interested in trying to help you succeed.
And SCORE is a national organization that's affiliated with the Small Business Administration. SCORE was started back in the 60s, and we have one chapter right here in Appleton, as I just mentioned. So it's a national network. We also have training programs that we use to help educate business owners and those who want to start a business. Randy, we have 2 coming up. What are they coming up here?
Right. The first program that's going to be coming up is on August the 16th. We're going to be doing a program on legal questions, business law, and it's going to be covering some of the errors and pitfalls that people have when they're starting up a business, things to be aware of before you get going. And that's before you get going. So
Before you sign the paper.
Right. The person who's going to be handling that is going to be Kevin Eisman. Kevin is with Epiphany Law here in Appleton. He is an expert in the business law area, and we'll be there. We'll be talking about all of these items. It'll be about a 3-hour program. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on August the 16th. It's going to be held at the SCORE office, at the Chamber office downtown. Would warn you, if you are coming to that, the parking situation is a little
streets
difficult.
Streets are all far enough right now.
Yeah, so be sure you plan on parking in the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll be going over these details. The cost is $35, and we hope that we'll be able to help people really avoid some mistakes.
I can tell you, and you know this, Randy, that if anyone's ever heard Kevin Eisman speak, he's pretty good at it.
He does an excellent job.
And he does a nice job of communicating with the audience. He connects with the people, and it becomes more of a dialogue than just a presentation.
Right.
Is worth the time.
He's also going to have at least one or two other members of the Epiphany Law firm there.
Yeah.
So they'll be covering a number of topics and moving along on that.
Right. This would be worth someone's time if you're facing a legal question or you have to sign a lease or you're starting your company. Should I be an LLC or a C Corp or an S Corp? There are legal considerations. Please attend this seminar.
Right.
You're going to learn a lot.
The key of this, of course, is, again, do it before. You know, don't sign it before you read it,
exactly.
That kind of thing. And so there's a lot of really good nuts and bolts information will be coming out of this.
And then we have Simple Steps coming up again, huh?
Right.
This is our third swing at it now?
This will be the third time we've produced this program. We've had excellent response to this. What we do is it is a 5 program.
5 weeks.
5 week program. It starts with the opening session. It's going to be held on September the 20th.
Okay.
That's a Thursday morning.
Okay.
And that program is going to be held over at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop downtown Appleton.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll provide you with breakfast, really good coffee, and lunch. In addition to that, you also end up with the basic session on what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Are you ready for that idea, and what do you need to know? The other thing that's that goes on then would be we follow up with four other sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be coming up in October. So in other words, we do the first one, $25, get a feel for what's going on, then sign up for the next four. And those are detailed sessions. They talk about types of business organization.
Entities, what should I be, LLC,
right,
or whatever.
They talk about marketing and social market media. They talk about funding, how do I find the dollars. And they talk about financial planning and financial documents, how to work with your information.
Yeah, what is it, a balance sheet? What's an income statement?
Right.
And it really does have a very nice template in their Excel version people
absolutely
take away with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can put their own numbers in it.
Yes. It has a program that you can go right through.
Right.
So if you're looking on how to set up your financial planning documents, it's right there. So anyway, this will be an excellent program for you. It is, like I said, five sessions. The first one is September 20th at 8 a.m. at the Copper Rock in Appleton. And then we follow it up with four more sessions. That's October the 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th.
Good.
And those are held at the Chamber office in the evenings. Those run from 6 to 9, and those are Wednesday evenings.
And this can all be reviewed on our website at biztalkwithscore.com?
Correct. We now have an opportunity where you can go to that website and register for any of the SCORE programs.
BizTalkWithScore.com.
Correct.
Randy, we have Terry on the phone. Good morning, Terry. You have a question for us?
Yes. I was just wondering, we were just turning your program on, and then I was in the car, and I go, I'm going to call him.
Sure.
We're thinking maybe about down the road, a small business that we're thinking. It's in the works yet and everything.
Yep.
But the main problem we were talking about is, I've got good insurance where I'm working now, health insurance and, the whole works. Is there groups of, self-employed people that have a group where they can get decent insurance, health insurance and stuff like that?
I think through the Chamber of Commerce, there used to be a means of getting health insurance for small businesses, but you needed to have at least two people in the group,
mm-hmm,
and the second person cannot be your spouse.
Okay.
Also, the type of business that you are talking about, Terry, is there a group or organization, either a national
like an association?
No.
Okay. Because some of those also have group insurance. The other thing, of course, is in the upcoming situation, once things get settled out, if there are going to be the exchange programs and so on here in the state under the new insurance rules, you may be able to utilize that kind of a situation. Best advice is you're going to need to work with an independent agent, and it's going to be part of your program when you look at the insurance that you're going to need for your business in the first place. Then
correct,
start
yep
talking to that agent about your health insurance as well.
Terry, I'm going to give you a call. I've got your phone number here. After the program's over, there's a fella in town who provides health insurance contracts for individual entrepreneurs. He does it very competitively. I had mine with him for 9 years, but now I've moved on to Medicare. So, but anyway, I'll give you that number offline. I'll give you his name and phone number after the show.
Okay, and if I don't answer, just leave a message.
Will do, Terry. Thanks for the call this morning.
Great. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay.
Very good.
Bye-bye. We're going to have to take a quick break here, Randy, and then we'll come back in the next segment. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. Good morning and welcome back again to Biz Talk. Randy and I are here in the studio this morning and we're doing an open show. Our guest was unable to make her appearance this morning. We'll reschedule her. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY, and thank you very much for tuning in this morning. We're going to have an open show, as I mentioned, but before we get into any discussions, I'd like to just acknowledge our sponsors who bring Biz Talk to you each weekend. They include Associated Bank, Albertson Hailing CPA firm. Kurt Hailing is the partner that runs the Appleton office, and Mr. Alberts runs the Green Bay office, and they're located over on American Drive in Neenah there. We also want to thank Lakeview Credit Union for being a sponsor of BizTalk, the Hurling Clark Law Firm, who provides assistance to us and oftentimes good legal references. We want to thank the Business News for helping to promote our program and their biweekly periodical called the Business News. If you haven't subscribed to Business News as a business owner, you should. It's $20 a year. It's great news every 2 weeks. And we also want to thank eBiz Results for helping us with our new website. BizTalk with Score is a brand new website. Randy and I are still getting used to all the technology, and we invite you to go out and visit our website. There's opportunities to blog with the guests who've been on the show. You can see who's coming up in the next weeks, and you can listen to archive programs from months and maybe a couple years ago. So biztalkwithscore.com is our new website, and we invite you to go there. Randy, we were talking a little bit off air about our open show today and some of the topics that we come up with in terms of our guest conversations.
Right.
But we'd really enjoy it, and we'd invite our listening audience to call us with questions this morning.
Yep. There's a couple of areas. I mean, we were talking a little bit everybody is interested, of course, is in funding. How do you get the funding?
Right.
Where do you find dollars and cents?
Right.
Another area, too, that if people have some questions on, we have some information about, is in regard to veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a reminder that more and more now in the next couple of months, you're going to see a lot of programs
mm-hmm.
coming out. So we can talk about those a little bit later on, but if
sure.
You have any questions on some of the veterans things available too,
yep.
give us a call.
We'd like you to, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about funding sources and how do you qualify for funding for your business, whether you're going to a bank or a credit mm-hmm. union, a new concept out there that is really over 100 years old, but it's called
crowdfunding, right.
crowdfunding.
Yeah,
and then how do you choose a lender?
Don't claim to be an expert in that one, but I can give you some answers on it.
We'll give you some guidance,
yep.
and it's a good discussion. So if you have a question for us, call us in. But other than that, if you have a story you'd like to share, if you learned something through your experience of working with a lending institution or putting your business plan together, or you found a key in your marketing plan to really launch your company, get your product out there,
mm-hmm.
we sure would like to hear from you. Call us up, and we'll chat a little bit about it. And your story may be an inspiration for someone else listening on the radio.
Right. You can get us here at 281-1150 here mm-hmm. in Appleton. Or if you don't want to come on the air, we can talk to you. We can pick up your comments on the website. So if you go out to biztalkwithscore.com, and click on the comment section. We can pick those up that way and just read them right off the website
yep.
for you.
Yep, we've got our laptop set up here in the studio, and we can talk to you via the computer.
Okay.
We're going to have to take another break in a couple minutes, but I'd like to just open the discussion by talking about funding sources.
Okay.
And typical traditional funding sources are approach a bank or a credit union.
Correct. That's your debt side. In other words, you're going to borrow the money,
right.
you're going to pay the money back on a regular basis and paying interest month
right.
after month. Okay, that's one side.
And then there's that debt-free side. That could be dad or a brother or a friend who's going to put equity in your company.
Right. We refer to those as the three F's. That is friends, family, and fools.
No.
If you can find people who are interested, there are sources. Sometimes you may not get invited back to the family reunion after the borrowing session is over, but
right.
it is a viable source of obtaining funding.
It is. And then there are things out there like the angel investors and the venture capitalists. Unfortunately, angel investors and venture capitalists, in reality, are not really going to be interested in helping to fund a startup small business.
Right.
Unless the exception is the business owner has a really great technologically, potentially capitalizing, knock 'em dead, kill cash
right.
in kind of
right.
idea.
Right, because this
that has either software or medicine,
right,
something that's really fast growth, high technology, and we're
right.
really going to cash in.
Yeah, because when you're dealing with angel investors, you're dealing with venture capitalists. In both cases, those are what we call equity financing. They are coming in, they're giving you the money, and they're taking part of your business. They're taking ownership.
Mm.
And so they want to be able to get a return on their investment. They want to be able to get their money back out in X number of years. And they are also looking usually at larger numbers than what a lot of the startups are really looking for.
And venture capitalists are the ones that this distinction between venture capitalists and angel investors. Venture capitalists are going to be interested in taking over your company, and then you're out. Angel investors will come in with the equity money like a venture will, but they want to get paid out in 5 years. They don't want to take a company away from you.
Yeah, the other thing,
and
too.
But they're both looking for pretty handsome returns.
Right. The other thing, too, is that people understand sometimes angel investors may have specific goals or objectives, things that they have that they feel are important to society, things that they have an interest in promoting. And so those are the ones sometimes that will come if you have a specialized kind of a business. But, again, always the case is they are looking to get the funds in, get the funds out, and make a good return on the investment.
And I will say this, that the angel investors do a better job of helping you run your company and grow your company because they have some very experienced people in their groups who've done this before, fast growth companies, and they help you avoid pitfalls.
Yep.
Because if you avoid the pitfall, they can cash out it within the five-year window that they're hoping to cash out on.
Right.
So everyone wins. But it's a big return to the angel investor. But what the heck, if the business owner can make this thing succeed and pay them off, he's left with a very successful company.
Yeah, so there's a
but
lot
it's not for the small entrepreneur who wants to start a company in the typical sense of the word.
Most of the time when you start talking to any of the equity investors, like I said, and that's angel investors or venture capitalists, that type of thing, you're talking $250,000, $500,000,
a million dollars. Yeah.
If you're looking for $50,000, they don't have time to talk to you.
Right.
So.
Well, we're going to have to take that quick break here, Randy, catch up on our break schedule. We'll be back on the other side. So give us a call with the questions. We'll give out the phone number again. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Talk, Tony Bush here with Randy Melzer in the studio this morning. We have an open show going. And as we indicated earlier, please give us a call with any questions or if you want to share a story with us, we'd be very happy to hear that. You can reach us at 281-1150 if you're in the Appleton area, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, you can call us on the TDS Metrocom toll-free line. That number is 1-866-887-1150. Randy, we were talking a little bit about different funding sources before that last break. One of the common denominators that business owners need to always observe and adhere to, no matter who they're going to get the money from, if it's friends, family, fools, business lenders like a bank or a credit union, venture capitalists, angel investors, whoever it is, the business owner does need to put together a business plan.
Absolutely.
And I think a very critical part of that business plan is the business owner needs to understand how the cash is going to come into the company and when, and how the cash is going to leave the company and when.
You're not talking about cash flow, are you, Tony?
I'm getting up to that. I'm building up to that. The crescendo is cash flow.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Because it's the assumptions that the business owner writes down for each income line item and each expense line item. It's those assumptions that gives the business owner the ability to be able to understand how each of their decisions every day will impact the cash flow of their company.
Absolutely. And if you don't understand that yourself as a business person, and you can't communicate that to other people, that you've really done the planning, that you understand the numbers, you've taken the time to put those numbers together, to try and obtain funding is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because in every case, whether it's a bank, credit union, any type of equity financing, or just someone in the family who's willing to give you the startup money, they all have the same goal. Mm-hmm. That is to get the money back.
Return on their investment.
Correct. And the only way that you can show somebody that they're going to get their money back is on paper with the numbers. And when you talk to banking professionals and so on, they ask, you know, what do I need to show these people? 80% of that business plan is going to revolve around those numbers. And so, you know, you better know what they're all about.
Yes, the numbers with written assumptions explaining why you used the number you used.
Right. One of the great tools that we have at SCORE, by the way, of those of you who are looking for a really good cash flow template, how to set this thing up, if you go out to the SCORE Fox Cities website, you can pick up a template on cash flow for both your business needs and also for personal needs. And I just want to bring that one up because people often overlook that.
Right.
They think, okay, fine, I'll put all this wonderful stuff together for my business. Why do I have to worry about my personal stuff?
Right.
You should have that same kind of plan because if things get tight, things get tough, you have to know where you're going to get your money from.
On the website, I believe that spreadsheet's called the SBA cash flow website.
Correct.
Or cash flow worksheet.
Right.
And it's an Excel document,
right?
And it has, as you pointed out, Randy, each column for the next 12 months is an estimate and an actual.
Yes.
Each column. So you put the estimates in for 12 months, and then as each month goes by, you lay your actuals in so you can see how you're doing.
Yep.
At the far right, in the 13th column, it'll total up year to date, so you'll see year to date how you compare to what you should be doing.
Right. Yeah, you can do all kinds of neat what if kind of questions and so on. The other thing you mentioned is down one of the things that are included in this package on that template is the assumptions page. And again, that's another one of those things everybody looks at, well, why do I have to do that? Well, if you're thinking about the numbers today, you write them down, my estimate for my insurance or my estimate for fuel
or wages
or whatever, by Wednesday, you look at it again and say, now, where did I get that number? What did I mean when I put down that $125?
Who wrote that?
Yeah. The easiest way to do that and answer it is you click onto the assumptions page. Line 42 says that's where you got that from. I found that based on estimates from business of the similar size that I found at the Census Bureau.
Right. One of the things that I'd like to point out too, Randy, and as SCORE mentors, we see this when we talk to business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Is business owners are interested in their cash flow, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how many don't want to sit down and do it.
Oh, yeah.
They want to hire it out, have someone do it for them, give them the report, and then they'll take that to the lender. The mistake there is they don't understand what's behind the numbers.
Right.
They need to be a part of it. Now, SCORE can offer assistance in helping the business owner complete that.
Correct.
We won't do it for you.
No, we will point you in the right direction, and we'll also show
we'll
you if you're going off
you.
In the wrong direction.
We'll critique it. If you want to take a swing at it, you take a swing at it, and it's a process like sharpening a blade. You just keep grinding away at it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon you've got a good sharp blade.
Yep.
And it'll cut through anything. And you've got to do it yourself. You've got to put the elbow grease into it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of places where you can, quote, buy your business plan. But without doing it yourself, when anybody asks me, why do I need a business plan? Why do I have to write a business plan? The answer is so that you know the answers.
Right.
You have to ask those questions. You have to take it step by step. It's a lot of work. But in the end, now when somebody says, all right, fine, how are you going to handle the situation when your supplier doesn't come through right away? Well, fine. In my business plan, I had written down I have four possible suppliers. I don't depend on just one.
No concentration there.
And I've covered that with other suppliers. Right. I know where I'm going to go.
Right.
Again, the answer is very simple. No surprises.
Right.
You hate surprises when you're going into business. Those are the things that will destroy a new business very quickly. But the other thing is, again, talking about getting the money, bankers, and having been one, and you are a recovering banker,
yeah.
We absolutely hate surprises.
Bad word.
So.
And by doing the business plan and doing the assumptions for the cash flow numbers in your business plan, in your projections for the first 12 months, just like in the Simple Steps program SCORE offers, people who haven't been in business before aren't even aware of what questions to ask or what even to look for.
Right.
And by going through a Simple Steps program, by going through the cash flow explanation of every line item in your budget,
right,
with a SCORE mentor or with your accountant, you're going to be made aware of potential pitfalls that you may not even have known existed before.
Correct. Yeah.
And it might change your mind. And you and your spouse may decide, you know what, sweetheart, maybe now's not the time to start this business. Let's wait till the kids are out of school and we got a little less mortgage.
Right.
And that's just as much of a success in coming to a conclusion as someone who decides, let's launch the business.
Correct. Because, again, some of the things you can find, one of the areas when we had Kurt Haling, he was one of the co-presenters, and in the accounting side, talking about the fact that as a small business, even though you are only taking draws out of the business and so on, people overlook one big important thing. They have to take care of withholding. They still have to pay their Social Security.
Taxes,
they have to do that. These are tax questions that when you're starting up a business, people get so excited. It's such a great idea. It's such a wonderful thing. And then somebody says, well, now are you putting aside 20% of your income to be able to handle the withholding, Social Security, FICA, all of those things? And the person kind of looks at you like you've just dropped out of a cloud, but it's real.
Well,
these are things that you have to be aware of. And most good business plans, the templates for them, for the business plans, for the cash flow, for the financial portions of it, all cover these.
Every business owner needs, as you pointed out, Randy, needs to do a good plan so they don't surprise the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Well, business owners don't like surprises either. And there's no greater surprise than to not be aware that you should be putting money aside for withholding taxes at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the statement from the accountant saying, okay, you owe $14,000 in taxes, and you've got $1,400 in your checking account.
Yeah.
That's a big surprise.
Yeah.
Business owners don't like surprises either.
No.
So,
and those can be the death knell to a startup.
I'd like to talk a little bit about how do you choose a lender? Which lender should I work with?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's smart for every business owner who's seeking a loan to prepare a business plan, as we've just talked about, and then take it to at least five different lenders.
Right.
Call the lenders on the phone and ask them, do you do financing for my type of business? Maybe I'm a bait shop and they don't like leeches and worms, so they're not going to make loans for
or have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. So the lender needs to have expertise in your area. So find that out by talking to them first.
Yep.
Once you've identified five lenders who have expressed an interest in your business, your industry, and in you, you take your business plan to the lender and you introduce yourself, if you haven't met before, have a nice little conversation, and you say to them, Randy, here's my business plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to review it and give me a proposal on how to fund my business plan.
Yep, okay.
And Randy's going to say, well, we'd be very happy to look at it.
Yep.
Thank you for bringing it in. And then I would say, well, how long will it take you to get back to me with some response, some input?
Right, and this is an important answer, and the people should get back to you within about 2 weeks at the longest.
Right. So, okay, 2 weeks. And so I always propose that the business owner needs to manage the banking relationship and not be managed by it. Just like you should manage your customer relationships and not be managed by it. You should manage your vendor relationships and not be managed by it. You approach your lender the same way.
Right.
So a week goes by. I've not heard anything from the loan officer, but I did go to the Brewer game in Milwaukee last Thursday afternoon. So I call the lender up on Monday morning and I say, hey, Randy, this is Tony. I was out of town a little bit last week. I was at the Brewer game. I didn't hear anything from you, and I'm just wondering if I might have missed a message.
Right.
Do you have any questions on my business plan?
Yeah, at least this way you are not pushing, but you let him know that you're there, and by the way, that just got your application, your information, up to the top of his stack again.
And you're demonstrating to the lender that you believe that the loan he's asking him to make to you is a quality asset for the lender. Now, he may not think that initially when you drop it off on his desk the week earlier, but your calling now lights up his eyes a little bit, and he says, I better look at this. So I would say to the loan officer, hey, Randy, do you have any questions on my business plan? And Randy might say, well, I'm looking at it right now. It's right here on my desk.
Right.
But it's at the top of the pile.
But, yep, you've done that, number one. Number two, the loan officer now knows you're interested. You're involved.
You're serious.
You're serious about this thing.
You
so
put a
you've
lot of
increased
work
your
it?
Possibilities.
You're ready to go.
Right.
And you've let the lender, you've let each one of these five lenders know that you're shopping it around.
Right.
So at the end of the 2 weeks, two lenders might, for some reason, say we're just taking a pass on it.
Right.
And they're required to give you a reason why.
Yep.
They are required to give you a reason why, so you can learn from that. The other three lenders all come back to you with a proposal. And now the borrower is in a position to negotiate, because if Bank A is willing to do the loan at 5% and Bank B is willing to do it at 5.5% and Bank C is at 6%, interest rate would say Bank A gets it.
Not necessarily, but yes.
Interest rate would.
Yes.
But that's not how you choose a banker.
Yeah.
You choose a banker like you choose your accountant or your attorney. It's a good chemistry connection.
Yes.
The banker has a genuine interest in your success, and you dialogue well with that lender. You dialogue well with your accountant. You dialogue well with your attorney. They're genuinely interested in your success. You don't do it just on interest rate. You don't do it just on collateral for the loan.
No.
You want a good connection. You want a partner.
Right, because you're going into this deal
a minimum of
3 years.
All in.
You're going to have to get to know the people. And, yeah, as you said, it's everything you have and your whole life is on the line. You
yep.
better know the people you're dealing with. So, and as I always tell people when I'm, you know, working on these classes and so on, every one of these professionals, you know, the banker, the accountant, the attorney, the insurance agent that you're dealing with, you're the person who's buying the service. You, as the new business owner, you have to have the confidence in them, and you have the right to fire them.
Yes.
So remember, you're paying the bills. If they're not giving you the service, they're not giving you the answers.
Get a new one.
You get a new one.
Replace them.
Yep.
The bank cannot make any money unless they make loans.
Right.
If they don't make good quality loans, they're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good quality borrower, you're going to make money for them, and you can shop your business around at different lenders
yep.
and go with the best one that feels right for you,
yeah,
considering
right.
all the aspects,
right.
the one that feels right to you.
Yeah. Right now, again, recommendations, because people say, well, what lender should I go to? First of all, like you mentioned, some lenders do certain things, some mm-hmm. lenders don't. The rule of thumb real quickly is probably to start with the locals. People who are local lenders, you know, your local credit union, your local bank. There's a lot of things that I can get myself into trouble for saying some of that. Okay, but on the other side of it, some of the regional banks have more funds and have more broad-based resources. So again, that don't exclude them.
Right.
But you know, if you're looking to start up, include one of the smaller ones. Include one of the regionals for sure.
When I was a lender, started out in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
Bill Melzer at First National Bank, it was a great guy. He was my mentor, and some mm-hmm. of the listening audience may remember that name. But he taught me.
I sure do, because I get tangled
Melzer,
up with that last name all the
yeah.
time.
But Bill was a very wise lender, and he taught me early on. He said, the best rule in lending money and getting repaid successfully is know your borrower.
Mm-hmm.
Know the borrower. You can't get to know the borrower online in another community.
Right.
500 miles away. And when you're borrowing money, the best rule of thumb is know your lender.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a two-way street.
Right.
And again, if we create the partnership, we're going to be in better shape,
yep.
better success.
Yep.
We have to take a quick break, Randy. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about crowdfunding.
All righty.
All right.
Go.
You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to our final segment this morning. We thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope you'll be with us next week as well. Randy and I have been talking open show this morning about financing, approaching lenders, getting money from different funding sources like venture capitalists, angel investors, friends, families, fools, that sort of thing.
Right.
But we also wanted to talk a little bit about crowdfunding, because we mentioned that earlier in the program. And in the context of our earlier comments about knowing your borrower and knowing your lender and having that partnership between the borrower and the lender to help you succeed in your business, we wanted to talk a little bit about crowdfunding.
Okay.
What is crowdfunding and where does it come from, Randy?
Okay. Crowdfunding right now is one of the really hot topics in the world of business entrepreneurship. It's a way of raising, in this world, let's say some smaller amounts of capital. You need 20,000, you need 50,000, something like this. You can't go to a bank. You don't find somebody out there that's willing to give that to you as an investor. How do I get this kind of money? The program of crowdfunding is probably over 100 years old, the idea. It was originally done quite a bit through newspaper advertising. A lot of it was scams. A lot of it was cases where you send in the money, thank you very much, you got nothing. The offer went out and they took your money and walked off. The new programs are designed primarily around the internet, so that you are dealing with, first of all, an internet website that handles it as a basically as a third party. You're also, the payments received are received through something like PayPal or something like that.
So there's an intermediary that's kind of controlling the cash.
Right.
As opposed to 100 years ago.
Correct. The other thing is that in almost all cases, you set up, let's say I'm the entrepreneur.
Okay.
I need $50,000.
Right.
Okay, what I need to do, number one, is I have to set up that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I have to set up a deal with the intermediary, the third party, to handle my promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, I have to have an offer to you, the investor.
You have to offer me something.
Correct.
For my investment.
Correct.
My investment could be as little as?
As little as $10.
Okay. But I'd have to get something for that $10.
Right.
This is not a Securities and Exchange Commission transaction.
I don't want to get into that very close right now,
but
right now
it's
SEC is not involved in this part of it.
Right.
There can be in the future. Those rules are coming out. It's part of the Jobs Act.
Right.
And right now it's a little fuzzy.
Right.
But as far as the basic programs that are out there right now, if I have a goal, like I said, of $50,000,
mm-hmm.
if I don't make that goal, okay,
so if you only collect $40,000 and all the subscriptions you collect, you only get $40,000.
Correct. I send
and there's a time allotment for that.
Yeah, usually 60 to 90 days.
Okay.
Then if I don't receive that full amount, I don't generate enough money, you as a subscriber, the person who sent in that $20.
Get it back.
Get your money back.
PayPal sends it back to me.
Well, the website that you're working with controls that.
Somebody's controlling it.
Yeah, there's a number of major websites.
Okay.
Some of them are, then it's a good thing to go to the major ones.
So what if you hit your 50 grand?
At the time then, you get the $50,000 target.
The business owner
the
gets
the business
50
owner
grand.
Receives the funding
yeah.
less...
A
in
commission.
Most cases, 5% that the website holds.
Yeah.
They take that as payment for that.
But you reach 50 grand. Now, what does the investor get?
The investor gets whatever the offer was. The offer can be the product that, you know, let's say I'm designing something. I need to have $50,000 to make my first production run. After I finish that first production run, you as one of the people who have subscribed to it would receive one of my products or mm-hmm. five of my products or whatever mm-hmm. it was based on the level of your subscription.
As a subscriber, do I get to see a business plan from the business owner?
You can get that information from the individual if they have it.
Because
okay?
I might subscribe for $20 or $100 and you get your $50,000 as the entrepreneur. But what assurance do I as an investor have that the entrepreneur is going to have enough money to produce all these things to send me my whatever it is?
You're hitting on the major questions and
risks.
Problems as far as the risk is concerned, because you don't have a lot of ways to get to or guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing to do, check it out step by step. Get the name, get the information, get a business plan, find out what it is they're talking about, especially if you're going to think about investing more than an absolute minimum. Remember, too, you're not investing in the company. You're not getting
you're
an ownership right.
You're buying a product.
You're taking advantage of an offer that the person's making, and they're raising that money to start their business.
You're essentially prepaying for a product.
Correct.
With no assurance it's going to be delivered.
Correct.
Well, Randy, as is our custom at our program here, we like to have our guests leave a biz tip. You and I have been the guests this morning.
Okay.
So you want to go first?
Sure. Not a problem. As always, when we're talking about professionals that you need, people you need help from, okay, ask for help before you need it. If you hire an attorney when you need him, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an accountant when you have to have him at the end of the year for your taxes, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Get the person, the professional that you need, ask for the help, and do it before you need it.
And SCORE can be one of those resources.
We're one of the five.
We're free, and we're right up there, and we're happy to work with you.
Right.
My biz tip would be along those lines, Randy. If someone already has a business operating and you're doing well and maybe you're not doing well, set up an advisory board. Perhaps your banker, a couple of good friends, maybe someone who's retired in your industry, put them on your advisory board, use them as a sounding board, meet quarterly, buy them dinner, pay them $100 a meeting, but get that advice and get that knowledge and get that wisdom. It's a guiding light for you. It's a resource for you. And it's a sounding board for you.
Right.
Well, Randy, that's our show this morning. We're going to have to wrap it up. Our guest next week is Kurt Haling. We want to thank everyone for joining us this morning, and we look forward to talking to you next week. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.